You are Locked On the NFL, your daily NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. How is everyone this wonderful Wednesday? It's Halloween. Happy Halloween to all. I won't be participating in any Halloween stuff. I got two Steeler shows, so I'll be doing that instead of dealing with the trick-or-treaters. But yesterday was the trade deadline. And it's a great opportunity to chat with Mike Renner as we do every Wednesday. Mike, how's it going?
Going great. It was actually a fun deadline.
Yeah, it really was. And my plan for the show is I want to do the first segment just kind of buzzing through the trades. I mean, the impact they have on both teams. And then you put out your Pro Bowl rosters, and I was going to do offense and then defense. So the first trade of note yesterday is HaHa Clinton Dix goes to the Redskins for a fourth-round pick. And I think they've been in the market for a safety. I mean, I think he has a little more name value than maybe true value. I mean, but he is a talented player. There's been rumors they're going to move on from a while. They didn't pick up his option. But what's interesting to me, too, is the Packers and Lions are contenders, and they both were sellers yesterday.
Yeah, to me, this one made probably the least sense of any of the trades from one of the teams' perspective. For the Packers' perspective, it made no sense because safety was already an incredibly weak spot. The players, you know, Kenshaw Bryce and Jermaine Whitehead, the other safeties there outside of HaHa have been, well, just got awful this year. So they already needed another safety, and to get rid of the only guy who had been performing at, you know, anywhere near a competent level was head scratching.
Trying to only get a
fourth rounder was also like a fourth rounder is borderline where it starts getting not very valuable in the draft at all.
Yeah, I 100% agree. This one was a bit of a head scratcher for me too. The Jags get a third and a fifth for Fowler, Dante Fowler. And if I'm the Jags, I'm really happy with this. I mean, I know they're going to be late picks from the Rams. But, man, I mean, do the Rams care at all about the future? I mean, do they care at all about the draft anymore?
Yeah, that one, I mean, everyone, if you actually got, I know edge rusher is a huge need there, and they really have no talent there on the edge, but Dante Fowler's never been a good player. You know, he's never been a good edge rusher. It's not like they got a guy who's going to plug and play and, you know, all of a sudden solve their edge problems. He was barely playing in Jacksonville because he just hasn't been that good. So a third and a fifth is actually in the range of that's a lot to give up, especially when you didn't have I don't think they have – they already were missing picks in the extra draft. I'm not exactly sure which ones that they were. But so you're basically robbing yourself of adding any sort of talent to that team in the future, which is concerning, especially now that you have to sign Fowler after the season.
Yeah, and they have a lot of upcoming major free agents still, and they've already invested in Gurley and Cooks and all these guys. And, hey, if they win the Super Bowl, fine. I mean, no matter what the cost is, if you win the Super Bowl, I'm fine with it. But it's just not very good long-term planning.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is the missing piece to a Super Bowl. I don't think this was really putting them over the top that they weren't going to win it before.
This is probably the smallest deal, but the Ravens pick up Ty Montgomery for a seventh. We pretty much knew Montgomery was going to either be cut or shipped out, so you can get him on the cheap. But I kind of wrote this up for Clayton Football yesterday that I'll take Montgomery for the Ravens right now. They need all the playmakers they can get. They could use a receiving back. Maybe he aligns at receiver. He can return, although he doesn't do what he's told. But for a seventh-round pick, I mean, I'll add this guy for that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad no. I mean, a seventh-round pick is nothing, especially one in 2020 at this point. That really is nothing. And he's a very competent running back, and I think he can also be a competent slot receiver as well, can add to their. And I think that Baltimore would be willing to use him a little more creatively than Green Bay did. So, yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense from the Ravens' perspective.
Yeah, I like that move for Baltimore. This one was kind of a no-brainer, I guess, for both teams. Demaryius Thomas and a seventh goes to Denver for a fourth and a seventh. I don't know why they swapped seventh to make that big a deal. So basically a fourth for Demaryius. He's very expensive. He's also very cuttable after the year. The Fuller injuries obviously at play here. They needed another receiver so that Hopkins didn't get quadruple covered, and the Broncos aren't going anywhere, and it opens the door for Sutton.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense from the Broncos' perspective. They didn't draft Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton to just sit the bench all year long. Demaryius Thomas is not what he once was, but I mean, still a solid possession receiver. I'm not sure he really complements, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. You still have no real speed there on the outside to speak of. But at the same time, Deshaun Watson's a guy who gives the receiver chances. He's good in contested catch situations, and that's what Deshaun Watson's been shown he's willing to do, is give his receivers chances to make plays. So I think it will be – it's obviously an upgrade for them. So for the Texans to win the South, I think it's a good move.
Yeah, and they're kind of in control of the South right now. I hadn't thought about it till just now, but do you think Hamilton becomes their third receiver then for Denver?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I always liked him coming out of the slot, coming out of Penn State. So
yeah, me too. I know the Lions figured they would get the third round pick this year as opposed to the comp pick. They weren't going to invest long term in Golden Tate, but they're also a competitive team. My hunch is they want to run the ball more. I actually think they might want to get Michael Roberts involved more, not become a tight end centric offense, but remember where they came from, a New England background. But for the Eagles, I mean, yeah, it's a third round pick, but Golden Tate helps you.
Yeah, I really applaud the Lions' sort of sense of realism here in knowing, yes, we could make the playoffs. Are we even going to compete for a Super Bowl? I mean, no, they just don't have the secondary to do it right now. And so I applaud them saying, we're going to get as much as we can in return. We use that third round pick. We'll be back next year and we'll have a better chance because of it. So applaud them. But I also do think it really helps the Eagles. They need just playmakers there on the outside. Golden Tate, I don't think it's just limited to the slot, even though that's where he was used in Detroit. I think he's much better than even Nelson Agholor is there for Philly. So you just get a talented guy who's a weapon on screens like few other receivers are in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, outstanding after the catch. I look at the Eagles now and say, it's all on Wentz, you know, and he's playing great, but they don't run the ball for crap. I mean, that offense is going to go as far as Wentz can take them, and it might be far enough now.
Yeah, I think the Eagles strategy right now has been to win. They've been in a win now mode for a few years. They don't have a great cap situation heading forward. I don't think they're in a really great spot to add talent otherwise, you know, through free agency. So take a chance here with Golden Tate. I don't hate the play.
Yeah, me neither. Another thing I don't hate is one of our sponsors, Swap.com. I've been telling you more and more about these guys lately. It's a pretty cool deal that they offer. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. So any of you out there that have kids know how much money you've been spending for you know, brand new clothes time and time again. I mean, my kids are growing like crazy. They outgrow them, it seems like, in a week. So wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? And there is. It's called Swap.com. It's the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to store after store and sifting through all those racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on Swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. And this is pretty cool, too, is over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted every year. So shopping secondhand at Swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment as well. So that's something you can feel good about there. They got great brands, Nike, J. Crew, Gap, Carter's. Quality hand-inspected items are added daily. If something doesn't fit, you enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. So here's the deal, though. You go to Swap.com and you use our promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, all caps, and you get 35% off your select items for your first order. So that's 35% off, already good prices. So use our promo code Locked On. So Mike, you did your Pro Bowl team, and I haven't even looked at it yet. I'm going to be checking it out as we speak, and I want to talk about the offense real quick, take a little break, and then talk about the defense. So you picked somebody. Is it just based on grades, or did you have some tiebreakers in your noggin too, or is it just
whoever's grading them? No, there was grades, how the grades were made up. So the overall grade takes a few things into account, but if a guy who's a tight end had a really good offensive guard had a really good run blocking grade but wasn't good in pass protection, we weighed it sort of good in our mind. Okay. Like that. And then snaps as well. If a guy missed time, we didn't put a lot of guys in who missed any sort of real time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So some people might be shocked, but you took Drew Brees, it looks like, narrowly over Mahomes.
Yes. And I think this one's obviously it's a debate that you really can't win. I mean, either side has their arguments. The biggest thing, though, is just Drew Brees has not missed. He just has not had downgrades. He's completing 77.4% of his passes. I mean, he just, there's really nothing that he's done that's been bad outside of the one pick he had this past week. So while Mahomes, the explosive plays have been amazing, he also has a lot more talent around him than Breeze has had down the field to make those explosive plays. So we ended up leaning Breeze, but it's a very close race, obviously.
Yeah, and to me, I would throw Rivers in the conversation. I don't know the grades. I just think he's played really well, too. Mm-hmm. Running back, I bet, was difficult. And if I was asked, I'm not sure who I would pick. Guys that didn't get mentioned to you were Zeke Elliott, Gurley. You picked Hunt over Melvin Gordon. And actually, I would sort of consider Barkley. Well, no, he doesn't run the ball enough. But I can see Hunt. He's coming on really strong.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt, the broken tackle rate that he has right now is ridiculous. He still he leads the NFL in broken tackles. He has 33. And if you just compare that to, you know, the other guys who are in that sort of conversation, Todd Gurley on 30 more carries has 14 fewer broken tackles. And he also has ran behind our highest graded run blocking offensive line in the NFL. So at that point, Kareem Hunt has not had nearly the holes as Gurley, made a lot more out of nothing than Gurley. So that was pretty much the and Melvin Gordon as well. Those were sort of the tiebreakers is the how their run blocking of each stacked up.
Yeah, and you went with Thielen and Hopkins as your receivers. Honorable mentions were Julio and Michael Thomas. I don't know how anyone could have any qualms with that. I mean, Hopkins does the most with a little in the league, and Thielen's been a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, this one's, I think the top two are pretty obvious. I don't know how you would. Adam Thielen's had 100 yards in every single game, making spectacular catches left and right. I mean, Kirk Cousins, I think his passer rating when targeting Thielen, something like 123.9, even though he still has the most targets in the NFL. So he's efficient and has been playing extremely well. Hopkins, the spectacular plays, you know, the game winner against the Cowboys, the one-hander a few weeks ago. Really no argument there. The honorable mentions where you start to get into an argument, but I mean, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas also, who else is in the mix there? Odell Beckham also in the mix. It's not really, really separate, not really much separating any of those guys, unfortunately.
Yeah, I see you have, I just noticed now you have a flex too, and you gave it to Tyreek Hill over Odell. No one should have any problem with Hill, although I'm sure there's a couple games that he's not lighting it up, but his impact is felt, you know, astronomical amount. I just wanted to mention Odell, though. I mean, from what I've seen, he looks better than ever on tape. His quarterback's just killing him.
Really is. I think he's probably lost probably more yards than anyone in the NFL due to missed throws. Maybe Tyreek Hill's up there. He's lost a few deep balls to missed throws, but yeah, Odell's just, if he was playing, I think I tweeted earlier, if he's playing with Aaron Rodgers, he'd get 2,000 yards just with.
He might be right.
Because he's just open. He just gets open.
He might be the best receiver in the league on his own merits. Yeah. I love your tight end pick of George Kittle. I've been saying for a while now, I think he's the next Travis Kelce, very much on that same career path, maybe even a better athlete. Kelce's your honorable mention. I am shocked. I assumed it would have been Ertz.
They're both, so Kelce and Kittle, extremely productive so far on a per-catch basis compared to Ertz. Ertz has just been a lot, just racking it up underneath, basically. Mm-hmm. Kelce and Kittle have just been way more explosive in terms of downfield, bigger plays. So that's, I think, what gave them the nod. And then Kittle has also been one of the best run blockers in the NFL tight end position, which is what separated him and Kelce, in my mind.
And Ertz doesn't block a soul. So now we'll get to the blockers. I'm just going to tell everyone, kind of group these together. You got Bakhtiari over Armstead at left tackle, Saffold over Will Hernandez, the rookie. I mean, that's something I guess the Giants can hang their hat on. Kelce over Paradis from Denver at center. Right guard, Austin Blythe from the Rams. I think you mentioned him to me about a month ago. He gets a nod over Shaq Mason. And at right tackle, Ramchek over Havenstein. So some young dudes here on this list, you know, Hernandez, obviously Blythe and Ramchek. But tell me a little bit about Blythe or any other O-line notes you got here.
Yeah, Blythe's the interesting one because I think this is actually, he's the biggest defense in my mind, or biggest difference, excuse me, in my mind between last year's Rams team and this year's, why they've, you know, taken the next step, why they've been even better this year in terms of scoring, is because he's way better than Jamon Brown ever was. He's been incredible in the run game. He's only allowed a handful of pressures all season long. So Goff's under less pressure than he was a season ago. There looks like on our grading, the holes are bigger for Todd Gurley. And a lot of that's because Blythe is just playing lights out for, I don't know how, I don't know where he came from. I liked him a little coming out of Iowa, but I thought he would be an issue in pass pro. He's been fantastic for them.
Yeah, and seven or three out of the 10 names I mentioned were Rams. When we talked about your O-line ranks, they were at the top of the list and didn't mention Sullivan or Whitworth. So obviously the Rams have some good things going on up front. The Saints as well. I mean, their tackle pairing is unbelievable. My Steelers didn't get represented, but I'm not sure who I'd put in that list. But I think that line overall is really climbing up the list.
Yeah, I think they've gelled from early in the season. They look a lot better now. They've had a handful of games in pass pro that have been pretty impressive, strung together here.
Last quick O-line question, I'm going to go to break. Either one of the Dallas studs grading well for you guys?
Yeah, so Zach Martin just barely missed it at right guard.
Okay.
Tyron is having a down year. Tyron's not really close to Armstead or Bakhtiari, how they've been this year. He's had a handful of uncharacteristically bad reps in pass protection. I wonder if that back injury is still lingering. It just doesn't quite look to be himself. But, I mean, still very good, but not the 2015 sort of level that we saw from him.
Yeah, I only asked because they just fired their offensive line coach, which I thought was kind of odd. But let's go to a quick break, and then I want to buzz through the defense. We will be back in a moment. All right, some edge dudes. Brandon Graham, who I've noticed Pro Football Focus has adored pretty much since he's came into the league. Rightfully so. I'm not being critical at all. I mean, he just doesn't get the national publicity. Well, maybe, I mean, with the Super Bowl, but for his career. Dee Ford, those guys got the edge over J.J. Watt, who looks to pretty much be back, and Cameron Jordan, who was a stud last year, too.
Yeah, this one was very much splitting hairs. I think the grade difference between Ford and the lowest one, which I think was Jordan, was like a point, a full point in our grading, which is nothing. So all four of those guys, fantastic. Graham, the reason we love him is because he's the best bull rusher in the NFL. It seems like every time he wants to bull rush a tackle into the QB, he can. It doesn't lead to a lot of sacks, but it definitely just impacts a lot of quarterback throws, which is why, you know, that whole defensive line for the Eagles is very good at helping out their secondary. It's as good at helping out their secondary as I've seen a defensive line in the NFL.
Yeah. The defensive tackles, to me, Donald had to be the easiest decision in the whole thing. Fletcher Cox, no one has a problem with that. He's as good as ever. But I like the honorable mentions. Kenny Clark and Akeem Hicks. I mean, I'm not sure that most of my listeners know how impactful those two guys are in the NFC North.
Yeah, I don't think there's a better nose tackle in the NFL right now than Kenny Clark, at least as a pass rusher. I don't think it's really even close. He impacts more plays. If you watch this Rams game for the past week, and he owned John Sullivan. It's the reason why John Sullivan wasn't close to making our all-pro teams, because he just got his butt whipped by Kenny Clark, one of the best centers in the NFL, and he had like seven pressures against him. So he's been fantastic. And Akeem Hicks, he's been a stalwart of that Bears defense for a while now. Mm-hmm. He's probably more known for his run defense, but he holds his own as a pass rusher too, a very good bull rusher in his own right.
As I scroll down to the linebackers, it puts a big smile on my face that Kuechly and Wagner are your two picks. I mean, you talk about like Hall of Fame staples, studs, consistent. I mean, they absolutely fit the bill. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the other two names are more interesting, though. I mean, Leighton Vander Esch, love it. I mean, another rookie makes the list. And Zach Brown, who it took him a little while to put his career together, but he's an impact guy now, too.
Yeah, Zach Brown, he could have been had for pennies a couple of years ago after he left the Titans. And ever since then, he's really turned his career around. Fantastic athlete at the position. Is one of the best run defenders, comes downhill with the best of them, great at taking on blocks. So he gets honorable mention there. And Vander Esch, one of the least talked about rookies in the NFL compared to how actually impactful he's been. He's been so good in coverage. He had a play where he tackled Golden Tate in space on a crossing route, which there's not a lot of linebackers in the league that could possibly do that. He did it without giving up a single yard. You know, after the catch, which was just incredibly impressive, his balance has been fantastic. I think he's only missed one tackle all season long in coverage, which is just, for that defense, that's huge for what they asked them to do.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not like, boy, this is two defenses with and without Sean Lee. I mean, it isn't that not
exactly
the case anymore. One of my favorite things about Pro Football Focus is some of the lesser-known names get recognized for truly excellent work, and not everyone sees that or knows it. But Desmond King was an honorable mention. He fits that bill to me very much at corner. Your starters you picked were Jones from Dallas and Chris Harris. Patrick Peterson was an honorable mention. And then you guys had a flex, too, where you picked Kareem Jackson over Derwin James. But I guess that's just kind of best defensive back available, your flex, huh?
Yeah, so we tried to make flex sort of hybrid guys.
And okay.
Kareem Jackson's actually like whole games where he's played boundary corner. He's had whole games where he's played slot corner. He's had whole games where he's played free safety there for the Texans. It's been a really weird sort of season for him, but he's done it all extremely well.
Kind of resurrected his career because of his versatility. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's actually the sort of turnaround of the Texans defense from a season ago is one of the more underrated storylines for their improvement, because they were god awful defensively last year. I mean, they had the most points against in the NFL. And well, a lot of it was because of Kevin Johnson, the former first round pick. But now that he's out of the lineup, they just look much improved there on the back end.
Yeah. And I just wanted you to mention a little bit these two Chargers, too, King and Derwin James. Derwin James, to me, is going to be the best safety in the league and before we know it. But he, like you said, he does everything.
Yeah, again, that's why we put him at flex, is because he rushes the passer, he plays some linebacker, he really can do it all. I thought any of the teams that were drafting linebackers ahead of him, the guys that drafted Tremaine Edmonds, Roquan Smith, so the Bears and Bills, they should have gone Derwin. I think Derwin would be a better linebacker than either of those guys, because he's just that impressive in terms of how he can take on blocks, how much ground he can cover, and just his instincts. I mean, he's a fantastic football player and already playing at a really high level for the Chargers. And King's probably the best slot-only cornerback in the NFL. I don't think that's really much of a debate at this point of guys who solely man the slot. He has the second most coverage stops of any corner in the league, and I think he's only allowed a handful of first downs to his coverage all season long. So he's very good there in that role.
Yeah, I preached leading into the draft that I thought Derwin James was the best defensive player in this draft, and I feel even stronger about it now, just for everything he does. Speaking of safeties, we're going to wrap it up. I bet there's some people listening that don't know who any of these four safeties are. I mean, DJ Swearinger for Washington, and they just traded for another safety, as we mentioned at the top of the show. Another rookie, Jesse Bates from the Bengals. Bradley McDougal from Seattle. I mean, if I would have told people before the season that the Pro Bowl safety was coming out of Seattle, probably people wouldn't have picked McDougal. And John Johnson, yet another star for the Rams.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Someone asked me yesterday, who's the best safety in the NFL right now? And it's just so hard. There's all the sort of names of the past, it doesn't seem like, one, either they're not playing well, or two, they're, Earl Thomas out of the NFL, Cam Chancellor out of the NFL. There's just has sort of been a dwindle. Eric Weddle is, older now. Eric Berry injured. So the best safety in the NFL, I'm not really sure who it is, but DJ Swearinger has been playing lights out football for the Redskins, the most picks in the NFL at the position. And the most impressive one to me has been Jesse Bates coming. I wasn't super high in him, but once he got drafted by the Bengals, I thought he was a perfect fit for a, too high safety team. And he's been really good. He's been a fantastic playmaker for that D.
Yeah, and I'm just curious because I'm sitting here thinking Harrison Smith's the one name of safety you didn't mention. Going into the year, he clearly would have been my top safety in the league. Is he grading less than usual for you guys?
Yeah, just having a bit of a down year.
Yeah.
He's had a handful of blown or just missed assignments there on the back end that I think even Vikings fans would tell you this has not been his best season.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, this was awesome, man. That was just a fun little exercise, quick-paced podcast. I really enjoyed it.
For sure, Matt. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. We will talk to you next week.